ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। 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 नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं उदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। हरे कृष्ण। श्रीमद् भागवतम सिक्स कैंटो चैप्टर 15 चेक वर्स 16। तस्मादिवं ग्राम्यपाशोर् मूढाधिय प्रभु अंधे तमसी मग्नस्य ज्ञानदीपा उदीर्यताम्। तस्मादिवं ग्राम्यपाशोर् मम मूढाधिया प्रभु अंधे तमसी मग्नस्य ज्ञानदीपा उदीर्यताम्। तस्मादिवां ग्राम्यपाशोर् मम मूढाधिया प्रभु अंधे तमसि मग्नस्य ज्ञानदीप उदीर्यताम्। यक्ष्मायुवं ग्राम्यपाशोर् मम मूढाधिय प्रभु अंधे तमसि मग्नस्य ज्ञानदीप उदीर्यताम्। कस्मादिवं ग्राम्यपाशोर् मम मूढाधिय प्रभु अंधे तमसि मग्नस्य ज्ञान दीपा उदीर्यताम्। तस्मादिवं ग्राम्य पशोर् मम मूढाधिया प्रभु अंधे तमसि मग्नस्य ज्ञान दीपा उदीर्यताम्। तस्मात् देयरफोर युवाम बोथ ऑफ यू ग्राम्य पशो ऑफ एन एनिमल लाइक अ हॉग पिग और डॉग मम मे मूढ़ा धियः हु एम वेरी फूलिश ड्यू टू हैविंग नो स्पिरिचुअल नॉलेज प्रभु ओ माय टू लॉर्ड्स अंधे In blind, tamasi, darkness, magnasya, of one who is absorbed, jnanadipaha, the torchlight of knowledge, udiryatam, let it be ignited. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Because you are great personalities, you can give me real knowledge. I am as foolish as a village animal, like a pig or dog, because I am merged in the darkness of ignorance. Therefore, please ignite the torch of knowledge to save me. Purport. This is the way to receive knowledge. One must submit oneself at the lotus feet of great personalities who can actually deliver transcendental knowledge. It is therefore said, Tasmad Gurum Prapadyesha Jignyashu Shreya Uttamam. Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 3rd chapter, text 21. One who is inquisitive to understand the highest goal and benefit of life must approach a bona fide spiritual master and surrender unto him. Only one who is actually eager to receive knowledge to eradicate the darkness of ignorance, only one who is actually eager to receive knowledge to eradicate the darkness of ignorance is eligible to approach a guru or spiritual master. The guru should not be approached for material benefits. One should not approach a guru just to cure some disease or receive some miraculous benefit. This is not the way to approach the guru. Tad vijnanartham. One should approach the guru to understand the transcendental science of spiritual life. Unfortunately, in this age of Kali, there are many bogus gurus who display magic to their disciples, and many foolish disciples want to see such magic for material benefits. These disciples are not interested in pursuing spiritual life to save themselves from the darkness of ignorance. It is said, Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. This gives the definition of the guru. Everyone is in the darkness of ignorance. Therefore, everyone needs to be enlightened with transcendental knowledge. One who enlightens his disciple and saves him from rotting in the darkness of ignorance in this material world is a true guru. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sopadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsya He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Lankayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatharanam Hare Krishna. Thank you all for joining. Srimad Bhagavatam, beautiful Srimad Bhagavatam, early in the morning. So we're reading chapter 15. That chapter is entitled The Two Sages, Angira Rishi and Narada Muni Instruct King Chitraketu. So we are all aware of the crisis that has engulfed Maharaj Chitraketu and his entourage. And in such a situation, Narada Muni and Angira Rishi, they both arrive in his palace and they begin instructing him, you know, very beautifully. Angira Rishi and Narada Muni both. And as Maharaj Chitraketu hears these instructions, he is pacified. Not only is he pacified, you know, all that is troublesome to the heart is, you know, removed. But then he is also seeing great hope. He's seeing great hope. So I'd like to just read this beautiful, how Maharaj Chitraketu, how he receives, you know, the instructions of these two great personalities. So you already read these verses, but just to refresh our memories. Because Prabhupada writes in the purport, this is how you receive great personalities. So how does Maharaj Chitraketu receive this? See the verse 10. King Chitraketu said, "You have both come here dressed like avadhutas, liberated persons, just to cover your identities. But I see that of all men, you are the most elevated in awareness. You know everything as it is. Therefore, you are the greatest of all great personalities." So this is the first verse that Chitraketu speaks. Then he says, "Brahmanas who are exalted to the position of Vaishnavas, the most dear servants of Krishna, sometimes dress like madmen." People call our bed sheets and kurtas dressed like madmen. "Brahmanas who are exalted to the position of Vaishnavas, the most dear servants of Krishna, sometimes dress like madmen, just to benefit materialists like us, who are always attached to sense gratification. And just to dissipate our ignorance, these Vaishnavas wander on the surface of the globe according to their desire." And then we read yesterday's verse. He is quoting all these great personalities and how he's telling how Angirar Rishi and Narada Muni, they are following in the footsteps, or they are also among these great personalities. And then now he continues today's verse. "Because you are great personalities, you can give me real knowledge. I am as foolish as a village animal, like a pig or dog, because I am merged in the darkness of ignorance. Therefore, please ignite the torch of knowledge to save me." So the quality that we see here in Maharaj Parikh Chitraketu, there are many amazing qualities, but one of them is humility, dainya. So there are six limbs of surrender. Dainya atma nivedana, dainya atma nivedana, then accepting those things that are favorable for Krishna, rejecting those things that are unfavorable for Krishna, considering Krishna as one's maintainer and then also one's protector. So dainya, humility. So this is the most essential quality. You know, if one wants to approach God, if one wants to approach God through his representatives, this is the fundamental qualities. Of course, it has to be there in a seed-like stage. And then by practicing the process of Krishna consciousness, the real humility, you know, on the spiritual platform, that will manifest. In a sense, humility is, Prabhupada says, Krishna is great, I'm insignificant, I'm tiny. So this is the hallmark of a Vaishnava, the quality humility. And this is not dependent on one's, you know, janma, aishwarya, shruta, shri. Typically in this material world, we will see that to the degree one has some opulences, to that degree, usually humility does not manifest. One is proud, or one thinks one is very significant. But then in our acharyas, you know, we see this quality demonstrated. We can begin, you know, with Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami, he was, you know, very elevated personality. Even materially, he knew, you know, six languages. He was the home minister, you know, or the finance minister of Nawab Hussein Shah. So he had it all. And people were worshipping him, you know, like a great personality. But then when he met Lord Chaitanya the first time, he said, "Everybody worships me as a great personality, but I don't even know who am I." Yeah. And it is mentioned, he with a straw between his teeth, he offers obeisances to Lord Chaitanya and he takes a shelter. And he says, "You please instruct me. I don't even know who am I." Yeah. That's one example, Sanatana Goswami. Maharaj, you know, Pratap Rudra, who was the king of Orissa, you know, South India. his eagerness to receive the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya would not see, you know, kings are usually considered materialistic, but so he would not, he refused to meet him. But his eagerness and his, you know, intensity, eventually, of course, there were many devotees also involved, but it melted the heart of Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave him his mercy. You know, so these are people who were greatly qualified, and then, you know, there are other personalities, you know, like Mrigari. You know, usually I read stories to my young son every day, the night, and so one of his favorite pastimes is Mrigari, and he asks me, how did he change? How did he change? Initially, he was scared to even read that book, the hunter killing animals and all that. But so Mrigari, he was, a very sinful personality. But then when Narada Muni, he approached him, somehow, of course, one can say out of fear, he surrendered to Narada Muni. However, he surrendered, but he approached Narada Muni and he said, tell me what I should do. I'm ready to follow what you say. So anyway, the whole spectrum is available. People who are most qualified in terms of materially, people who have no good qualities materially. No. This is a requirement. Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita 2.7, where Arjuna, he surrenders unto Krishna. He says that the material world is designed in such a way that it will perplex everybody. It perplexes everybody. And everybody should approach a bona fide spiritual master. So here, Maharaj Chitraketu, very beautifully, he is approaching these two great personalities. And like many of our acharyas also, you know, exhibit their mood of humility. He's saying, you can give me real knowledge. I'm as foolish as a village animal, like a pig or dog. So some of the prayers that we recite in the Mangala Charana, right? What is that beautiful verse? Mama manda mater gati matsarva sapadam bhojau Shri Radha madana mohanau. So same Sanatana Goswami says, mama manda mater gati, my intelligence is dull. And I approach you, Sri Madan Mohan, same Sanatana Goswami, same mood. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, in his writings, before he begins to write Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this humility, this quality is very, very essential to at least have a drop in the initial stages, enough that we can, you know, submit ourselves to Vaishnavas, and then take up the process of devotional service, and then as we nurture, you know, the process of devotional service, as we water the seed, the humility, the true humility will manifest. So here he's saying, I'm like a village animal, like a pig or a dog, because I'm merged in the darkness of ignorance. So as Acharya Nishtha Prabhu nicely explained yesterday, animal life basically means four propensities. Ahar, Nidra, Bhaya, Maithunamcha, eating, sleeping, mating and depending. And they are absorbed, they are merged in it. And here King Chitraketu is saying, I'm, you know, Magnasya, I'm absorbed in these, you know, propensities, eating, sleeping, mating and defending, like an animal. But what distinguishes, as Prabhu explained yesterday, what distinguishes the human being from the animal is that human being has a higher intelligence, consciousness to inquire, Adhato Brahma Jigyasa. Human form of life begins when one inquires, who am I? So here he's saying that I'm just absorbed in these mundane affairs on the bodily platform. But then he's submitting himself and he says that you have got what it takes, like he expressed even earlier. Two great personalities. You see things as they are. You know things as they are. You can dispel this darkness. So I'm surrendering unto you. So this Brahma Jigyasa, Athata Brahma Jigyasa, one cannot attain self-realization by oneself. One has to approach a bona fide spiritual master, as Prabhupada is here is writing beautifully. Tasmad gurum prapadyetha jignyashu shreya uttama. Prabhupada, again and again he writes, so having a spiritual master is not like a fashion. Now my neighbor has a dog, so I'll also have a dog. And so somebody has a spiritual master, so I'll also have a spiritual master. One who is really serious about Brahma Jigyasa, who am I, who is Krishna, what is my relationship with him, how to awaken it, they should approach bona fide spiritual master. Like as Prabhu was explaining yesterday, one has to be practically, you know, famished, you know, materially famished or frustrated, one can say, or finished, for us to receive this great gift. Like Queen Kunti mentions, right? Only one who are materially famished, they can actually feelingly chant the holy names of the Lord, or they can feelingly take to the process of devotional service. As he was explaining, if we have hopes that we can, you know, find happiness in other, through other avenues, then it's not enough impetus for us to put all the eggs in one basket, as they say, in the basket of devotional service. So so this for yeah so tasmad gurum prapadyetha jignyashu shreyottama. So one who is wants to end the repeated cycle of birth and death or reestablish their relationship with Krishna, God, they should approach Krishna, I mean the spiritual master. And Prabhupada also here writes, so there are many, many bogus gurus and there are bogus disciples also. It's like a contract, it's a marriage. But then if one is really sincere, if the living entity is sincere, then Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Peach. He will get the pure message, pure personalities. So the onus lies on us. It depends on what we want. If we want diamond, then we will get a diamond. Of course, one has to have some preliminary idea of what a diamond is. So either one has to know that themselves, or one has to have faith in some others who know what a diamond is. And then one can get a diamond. Ye yathamam prapadyante tamsa tathaiva bhajamyaham. So if somebody wants, you know, devotional service, pure devotional service, they will get it. Why? Because here is a great example. Because these verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, they are saying that such great personalities, the Vaishnavas, they are circumambulating. They are, you know, going around up and down the universe to reclaim conditioned souls. So the real deal, the real thing is there. It's not there. Yeah, there are many other cheating things also, but the real deal is there. And if somebody wants it, Krishna is there in the heart of all living entities, then he will guide, you know, that living entity, and he will guide the personalities, the Vaishnavas, and they will connect. Krishna is there, as Chaitanya Nishtapa was saying yesterday. Krishna is not there just in Goloka Vrindavan, you know, playing his flute. But he is there personally. He is making all arrangements to fulfill the desires of the living entity. So if somebody wants to again connect with him, why will he not do it? Like the two birds sitting on the tree. One bird is eating, busily eating the fruits, and the other bird is waiting for the bird to turn. When will he turn? And as soon as he turns, he's there. You know. And then he may turn again and get busy with his thing, but he's still there. So Krishna is there. He is there as a Paramatma in our material sojourn. He is there in every life form, whatever we take. So he's always there. And so when a living entity, he is again ready to act in his relationship with the Supreme Lord, then he sends his emissaries, Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas are of different grades. So initially somehow or the other, one may come in contact with, you know, Vaishnava. May not be on the topmost platform, but they come in contact with the Vaishnava and they receive a book or some information, and that's how the devotional journey begins. And then eventually one has to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Prabhupada writes an act of instruction that even a madhyamadhikari, he cannot take, you know, the living entity, the disciple, he cannot take the aspiring devotee all the way to the topmost platform. He has to connect the living entity who is aspiring to a pure devotee. So there are different levels of Vaishnavas, and they are all merciful. They all play a role in our devotional service. So that's how devotional service begins. So the Vaishnavas, then they engage the living entity in the process of bhakti, right? Adav Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, and then so on and so forth. And as our scriptures mention, this transcendental knowledge that is being talked about here, this is the transcendental knowledge is one can say is a byproduct of bhakti. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojatah Janayati Ashu Vairagyam Gyanam Cha Yadahetukam. So the living entity who somehow comes in contact with the devotees, they begin to perform devotional service. There is some sambandha gyan. We were having this discussion last week. There is some preliminary sambandha gyan, you know, and that sambandha gyan is enough to begin the process of devotional service. And then they practice the process of devotional service, abhideya. And as it is mentioned in our Guru Vandana prayers, prema bhakti yaha hoite avidya vinasha jate. So factually, ignorance is uprooted from the root when prema bhakti is irrevocably established in the heart. So this, the point here is, the ignition happens at a particular time. Like here, the ignition is happening. But from the time the ignition happens, and then it becomes a blazing fire, there is, you know, of course there is time, one can say, but there are stages of bhakti also separating it. And so we have to stay with the process. So when the spiritual master or the Vaishnavas, they are igniting this fire, then it behooves us to add fuel to the fire, you know, and not water on the fire. So slowly, it is our responsibility to do that, to nurture what we have received. You know, and then the spiritual master continues, the Vaishnavas, they continue to fan the flame by giving it proper oxygen, you know, and then we do our part. And so slowly, this transcendental knowledge, it completely awakens. Like the rising of the sun. When, as soon as the sun rises in the morning, the first rays of the sun, also just even one ray of the sun, is dissipates darkness. But then as the sun rises, you know, and when it is in its full glories in the afternoon or evening, you know, it's, you know, flooding the whole horizon with sunlight. So similarly, this awakening of transcendental knowledge is a gradual process. Because bhakti, you know, it's gradual. It's a gradual process. Yeah. Yeah, two other points. Prabhupada writes in many of his books. So here the mood, the initial mood, when one approaches the spiritual master or the Vaishnava, this humility, so that mood remains. Prabhupada writes, in front of the spiritual master, you know, a disciple is always a fool number one. Not that the disciple is foolish, but that mood of humility remains even as the devotee advances. So sometimes, you know, we get carried away. Initially, we didn't know anything about anything. But somehow or the other, the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas, they teach us scriptures, they tell us, you know, what everything is. And we are just actually repeating like parrots what we have heard, not yet having realized anything. But then we think, oh wow, now I know something. You know, I'm giving the same class, you know, as my Guru Maharaj is giving the class. You know. So there is always this tendency, this chance that, you know, that initial, you know, humility that we had, one may lose it. You know, because one now thinks falsely that, you know, I'm doing similar activities as my spiritual master is doing, like that. So this, but the disciple, he has to be very careful, the devotee has to be very careful to always remain in that mood. So this mood does not change. Even one comes to the Paramahamsa platform, in front of his spiritual master, he is always, you know, humble. That. Prabhupada was like that. Whenever his, you know, the whole world would give him credit, he would say, actually, there is no, this is not my credit. If there is any credit, I have tried to, you know, execute, I have tried to follow my spiritual master as best as I can. That's my only credit. So he always remained humble, even though he was the world Acharya. Similarly, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Anyway, so this is the hallmark for Vaishnava. So this humility is not circumstantial. It is the essence of the devotee. So he stays in that position. I was born in the darkest ignorance and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. And here Prabhupada also is writing that what is the business of a guru? The disciple or the living entity should not be aspiring for material benefits. Similarly, the spiritual master is not interested in giving some material benefit, you know, to the living entity. Of course, he may do that to help the living entity in the grand scheme of things, like how Angira Rishi will mention later on. When initially he came, Maharaj Chitraketu was not ready for, you know, the real deal yet. So he gave him, you know, a material benediction to have a son. But then, so it fit in the big scheme of things. Like Narada Muni, he gave him a mantra, Dhruva Maharaj, for getting a planet. He gave him a mantra, which seemed like he was fulfilling his material desire. But these Vaishnavas, they are very, very expert. They're very expert in reclaiming the conditioned souls back home, back to Godhead. Therefore, everyone needs to be enlightened with transcendental knowledge. One who enlightens his disciple and saves him from rotting in the darkness of ignorance in this material world is a true guru. And one other point that I really like here is Angira Rishi and Narada Muni, they are coming. They both come together. And in a bit, it's not really mentioned who is speaking. Of course, Prabhupada writes in his purports that they both are instructing King Chitraketu. But then in a few verses down the line, Angira Rishi is saying, I came earlier, but then you were not ready. And this gentleman that's with me, he is Narada Muni, is Narada Rishi, the great personality. So it's sweet. Sweet meaning, I mean, I was thinking for me personally. It's always wonderful to see, you know, Vaishnavas working together in tandem, like even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he instructed Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu to go door to door together and give this message of Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada has written many places that a Vaishnava ideally should not preach alone. He should go with other, like Acharya Nishtha and Paramakaruna, travel together. So this is beautiful. And here, King Chitraketu, he is mature enough to give credit to both personalities. He is not like saying, you know, Narada Muni, wow, he's a great person, Angira Rishi, not so sure. Yeah. So he's saying, both of you, great personalities, thank you for coming, instructing me. So similarly, in our spiritual life, it's usually never just one person, you know, that is taking us back to water. Yeah, there is one. The whole Guru Tattva seminar was there. How Krishna, through his various manifestations, how he reclaims the conditioned soul. So there is, of course, the Diksha Guru. But then there are so many others also who are involved in taking a soul back. So when these personalities that are guiding Vaishnavas, when they work together, when they're able to work together, it's a beautiful sight. You know? This is the Vaikuntha Bhav, basically, you know, where everybody is secure in doing their part to reclaim a conditioned soul. They don't have to do everything. They just have to do their part. We just have to do our part. So they're secure. So I like this part. Similarly, in Mrigari's pastime also, initially Narada Muni comes, but then after, you know, his disciple is uplifted, he comes with Parvata Muni. He says, let's go check out how Mrigari is doing. So he comes with Parvata Muni. You know, like that. So I find that appealing. Even when we see, you know, Srila Prabhupada's disciples, it's fantastic to have association of one of them, but when you see an entourage, like two or three or four or five of them, yeah, it's really fantastic. So that's a personal appreciation that I have from this pastime. Okay, so we'll pause here, and if there is any comments, questions, discussion, Prabhuji, Nityananda Prana.
I have been hearing about and thinking a lot about this very beautiful pastime of Lord Balaram and Romaharshana, where Romaharshana is acting as a guru, speaking the itihasas and puranas, and Balaram, the Adi Guru, comes. Of course, I'm not going to go through the pastime, but one interesting thing in that is, we know the pastime that Lord Balaram takes a blade of grass and kills him. Just like that, touches him and Romaharshana dies. Something I've appreciated is that the grass, to me, represents humility. So Lord Balaram used humility as the weapon to kill Romaharshana and his pride. And then there is a verse where Lord Balaram says why he did what he did. I mean, it's a very beautiful verse of how Balaram says he's like an actor. So it's described that when one is in character, for the audience, they think that that is the personality. But the person who is either the director or someone who is very close to them, they know, oh, this is all acting. What may not be visible to the untamed eye, untrained eye, is clear to the guru. And so Lord Balaram comes. It's a very super pastime.
Yeah.
So when you were speaking, it helped. Often you said that in front of the spiritual master, one is always a fool, regardless of how advanced one may become.
Thank you
for that.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for sharing. Anything else? Which pastime?
I'm not too familiar with that pastime. The whole thing, I know pieces, but can you briefly explain what it is? Where Narada Muni save, what is his name?
Rigari from the Hunter?
Yeah. Can you briefly narrate kind of the whole thing in a nutshell?
Thank you. Yeah, it's a beautiful. Rigari pastime. Yeah. I was sharing. Yeah, yeah. So Rigari was a hunter by profession, by ancestry. That's what his parents did, his father did like that. So that's all he learned, to be a hunter. And so he was living in a forest with his wife. And he would hunt animals. And one thing that was peculiar about Rigari was for some reason he would not fully kill the animals. He would half kill the animals. He would make them suffer. The name Rigari also is animal killer or animal hunter. That's the name. And so while Rigari is doing all this, Narada Muni, he comes, like as this verse is describing, the pure devotees, they are free to go anywhere and everywhere. Out of their own causeless mercy, they come. So Narada Muni, he comes to Rigari and he sees his condition. And he tricks him. He doesn't say, don't kill the animals. You know, this is not good. He says, why do you half kill the animals? Kill the animals fully. Because when you half kill them, they're going to die a prolonged death. You know, they will suffer, you know, in pain, and then they will eventually die. So you kill them in one go. Don't half kill them. And then he explains that if he half kills them, how all the animals that he has killed so far, you know, he'll have to take birth in a future life, and all these animals, in a similar way, he'll also be dealt with, you know. And so that, you know, scares the heck out of Rigari. And he says, oh. So then he asks, is there a way out? What can I do? Because I don't know anything. How will I maintain myself? I only know hunting. That's all I know. You know, I shed the skin of the animals which I sell. I use, you know, the flesh. So this is how I survive, me and my wife. We have no other way. He says, sure, I'll tell you a way. But first you have to give up. You know, give up your bow and arrow. So he has so much faith. He said, okay. So the surrender, one can say, you know, this humility, one could say, maybe fear-driven. However, he agrees to hear Narada Muni. And Narada Muni says, give up your bow and arrow. And he gives up. Whatever he knew, in a way, till that time, gives up. And then he instructs him to chant the holy name. And he says, you have Tulsi Maharani in your house. You and your wife chant the holy name. And he says, I will take care of your necessities. Oh, wow. So he has absolute faith. He has firm faith. And then as he is told. He chants the holy name. He worships Tulsi, he and his wife. And all auspicious qualities, you know, he is decorated with all auspicious qualities. I'm skipping many details. And then, so the villagers nearby, that are nearby, they come to know about the transformation of Rigari. You know? So they come. They come to take his association. And so when they come to take the association, so as it is customary, when you go to a sadhu, you don't go empty-handed. You take some things. You offer them some things. So they would bring, you know, grains and vegetables and, you know, everything. So much so that they had, you know, surplus. So they would keep whatever that was required and they would give others back. So in this way, they were just absorbed in the process of bhakti, both the husband and the wife, like that. And so Narada Muni, one fine day, he, you know, one of his other, you know, brothers, Parvata Muni, says, let's go and see how my disciple Rigari is doing. So they both are coming to the house of Rigari, to the forest. And as they're coming, so Rigari, he sees them. And so he's in ecstasy, you know, seeing his spiritual master. So he starts running to, you know, meet his spiritual master. But as he's running, there are some ants on the way. Anyway, so see, as he's running in a zigzag way, like, you know, so they're wondering, like, why is he running like that? What's going on? You know, so then they come and they ask him. Oh, you know, they ask, however, anyway, so the story is that there were ants on the way as he was running, and he was avoiding them to not, so that he would not step on them and kill them. And so Narada Muni and Parvati Muni, obviously, they appreciate it. Like, wow, look, this person whose profession was, you know, killing animals, he has come to the stage where he would not even hurt an ant. So Narada, so Parvati Muni, he glorifies Narada Muni's, you know, potency and association. So that's in brief the story. So the transformation of Brihari from this, you know, hunter to a pure devotee, like Valmiki also, he was also like that. Yeah. Thank you for asking. Okay. Anything else? Yeah, Acharyanishtha.
Thanks, Prabhu. A little further ahead, Angira Muni mentions that King Chichiketa, you're a great devotee of the Lord. Yeah. So this kind of lamentation is not befitting you. I was wondering if you could, maybe the other devotees are aware, but you could refresh my memory of King Chitraketu, like maybe what dynasty he's coming in, or his any background on him, and then also how that relates to him being a devotee, but obviously still overwhelmed so much with this lamentation and this intense desire to have a son. I don't recall the background so much.
Yeah, I also, that was struck with me as well. There isn't, as far as I know, there isn't any mention of his genealogy. Only thing that is mentioned in the beginning of this chapter is there was a king in the land of Surasena, Maharaj Chitraketu. Yeah, the Sangira Muni does mention that this does not befit you, you're a great devotee. I read it in different ways, you know, whether, I mean, how the pure devotees, the great devotees, like the Uttama Adhikari Vaishnava, they see everybody as a devotee. They see that actually they are not a devotee, but everybody else is a devotee. So that's one way, I mean, at least I was looking at it. and also, anyway, the way, this one, and then from the Shastra, Krishna Prema is there dormant in everybody's heart. Yeah. So anyway, everybody's a devotee. We're all covered devotees. Somebody remembers that they're devotees, somebody has forgotten they're a devotee. At least this should be our vision. You know, those that are preaching. Because if we sort of put somebody in a bucket, he's a non-devotee, he's a devotee. All devotees of Krishna, some have forgotten it. Like Prabhupada said, I've not come here to teach you something new. I've come here to remind you what you've forgotten. And then how he receives, you know, Maharaj Chitraketu, how he receives these two great rishis. So obviously, you know, he has great qualities. Yeah. But if I find something specific, I'll let you know. But I didn't, I've not found anything specific. It's almost like yeah, I think what you're asking is, Krishna is saying, how have these impurities come upon you, Arjuna, anarijushtam? This does not befit you. So of course, Arjuna, we know. It's a great Pandava. So Acharyanishtha is asking, we know Vithrasura is Chitraketu, but who is Chitraketu? Is there something behind Chitraketu? Thank you. Yeah, question. Okay, yeah.
So Mrigari, how do you say his name?
Mrigari.
Mrigari. So he was a simple hunter and got the mercy of Narada Muni, somehow or other. And so sometimes we feel like in the past I've done so many simple activities, or people I've, you know, met, you know, people, this happening with, you know, probably every one of us actually. You know, we feel like we're so simple. I remember discussing, having a conversation that, you know, that keeps you actually away from the temple because you feel like people would judge you and criticize you. So how you go about, you know, approaching someone who has that feeling where this is actually like a hospital, it's for sick people actually. So how do you go approaching that where they feel like, you know, I don't deserve the mercy, I shouldn't even be here, you know?
Good question. You can refer to Prabhupada's story, right? Pigpen, which Indradhanu Maharaj talks about in his memories of Prabhupada. There was this personality who was like really absolutely living in, you know, in bushes and really foul and so on and so forth. Anyway, skipping many details, but you can hear about it. So somehow the devotees invited him to the temple, or he came to the temple, but it was like, you know, some were able to see, like Prabhupada saw, you know, that here is this person. He doesn't look yet like a devotee. He doesn't act like a devotee yet. But, you know, with some prasadam and some kirtan, you know, he'll manifest his qualities. So some devotees in the temple were losing patience. And, but then Prabhupada, you know, he insisted that, no. So you tolerate whatever is your nonsense. You tolerate it. And then apparently that devotee became a great devotee, right? Kushakrat, I don't know the name, but a devotee who translated Goswami literature. Wow. He translated and wrote commentary on Goswami literature. Huh? Yeah. Sanskrit. Yeah, Mukham Karoti Vashalam Pungum Langayati Grim. Yeah. So that was Prabhupada, you know. So in a practical situation, at least for us, what we could do perhaps is, because as you're saying, like let's say you invite such a personality to the temple. In the temple there are like, you know, besides, you know, there are protection issues and so many other things. So there may be issues, you know. Everybody may not be able to see as you see or others, you know, as Prabhupada saw. So in some cases, there may have to be like an incubation chamber. You or some group of people give that person some association. You know? And so you bring and take association in the temple. So we should not shine them to a certain position where they can come into a wider sangha of devotees. This is a principle, anyway, not just whether somebody is, I think this is just a principle we apply even otherwise. Before we, like there's a new person, so initially you cultivate them, right? You cultivate, you usually cultivate, I'm saying initially when you come in contact with the person, you cultivate them one-on-one initially, some amount of time. You give them association, prasadam, so on and so forth. And then when they are a little mature and so on and so forth, where they can take, other devotees can properly, you know, see them, then you bring them to, you know, a wider audience. So we have to make that call, you know, but always not, you know, shunning anyone. This is not our moment, because if somebody shunned us, we would not be here. If that's how we were dealt with, we would not be here. Because not everybody, yeah, somebody will judge, and then as you're saying, and if they feel judgment, then they may not come back. Yeah. But again, the important thing here is, ultimately in the end, like Mother Teresa's prayer, in the end result, it's between them and God. You follow? So it's almost, even these judgments and so on and so forth, it can be like an excuse to keep us away from God. Yeah. The Supreme Lord is all merciful, you know. So why people? We should take some responsibility. Let's say, you know, for some persons not becoming Krishna conscious, even when they're given a chance, but we cannot take the entire responsibility. It's something between them and God that's still not, you know, worked out. So, you know, like that. Yeah. Okay. Anything else? Okay, thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Please accept my humble obeisances.